So our second speaker this afternoon is Catherine St. John from New York, and she's going to talk about untangling tangled grants.
So I'd like to thank the Newton Institute and the organizers for arranging all of this. This problem actually started at the first workshop back in September. I was chatting with Dan Gusfield, and he had an interesting combinatorial problem. This isn't deep, but it's really cute, and it's very nice to be able to talk about it at the ending conference. So since it's freezing outside, I thought I would talk about something warm. So these are seven species of plants native to the Hawaiian Islands. You may or may not recognize them. The middle ones are hibiscus. There's some pandanus, some large prickly things like that. The images all come from the National Tropical Botanical Gardens in Kauai. So if we have these seven species, how can you show relationships between them? Well, the obvious one is we make a tree. So here's a tree that groups the various flowers together, et cetera. And I apologize for any botanists in the room, because not all of these trees are that great. But here's another tree that displays the same thing. So how do you compare the two trees? Well, one idea is to take both of the trees together and put crossing edges between the similar species. And so tangled grams get used many, many places. Probably the place they were popularized was in Rod Page's book on super trees and tangling evolution. He used them for comparing seabirds and the lice that live on the seabirds to see how they co-evolved. Okay, but we're just looking at them as a mathematical problem. So if we have these two tanglegrams, we've drawn lines between them, and we'd like to know how good a presentation this is of the information. And you can note that there's several places where our blue lines, our leaf-to-leaf edges, cross. But if you do some small interchanges, for example, if you switch the two hibiscus, you end up lowering the number of crosses. So what we're doing is we're taking two trees, we're identifying the leaves, and then we're counting the number of crosses. And we're asking, what's the optimal layout that you can have? So what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to swap the subtrees of a given claim. Okay? So the general question is, find the layout of two phylogenetic trees with the minimal number of crossings. Okay. And so some simple questions in there are things like planarity. Can you do it with no overlapping of the blue lines? The one layer or fixed version, the term one layer comes, this problem has been explored in a related context in the graphics community and the VSLI community. And layering is referring to the layers of when you're making a chip, an integrated circuit. So another question is, if one tree doesn't move and the other tree can move, what's the best you can do? And then there's the two-layer or general question, which is both trees you're allowed to swap or allowed to interchange subtrees to get the best answer. So looking at planarity, can you draw the subtrees, can you rearrange the subtrees so that no lines cross? This easily reduces to the planarity questions for graphs. And in fact, this goes way back. This goes back to when Tarjan and Hopcraft were young men in 1974. They came up with some algorithms that show you the planarity of graphs. Okay, and they do it in linear time. Their algorithm is impossible to understand, but there have been improvements in the late 70s and early 80s to make you do it. Okay, so this is actually noted in a paper of Freneau, Kaufman, and Potts, which I have to thank Daniel Husson for pointing out to me. These are all people at Tübingen, except maybe the last one. I think he might have graduated. And so they actually looked at this problem before we did. The planarity was also noted by Gabriel Valente and co-authors. They actually showed that it was order n squared by some fairly difficult work, but it was already known to be linear time by the previous stuff. So, okay, won't go any farther than that. Okay, so why would you be interested in having one tree fixed? And so let me give a justification for it. So this is actually a picture from Dwyer and Schreiber. Dwyer is a computational geometry graphics researcher in Australia and Treiber's in Germany. And what they looked at is you have a tree, you've loaded your first tree in, and now you bring in the second tree and you want to match it. And then you bring in your third tree and you want to match it. So you can think of it as an online version of this question, and that's actually exactly what they did with this tree here. So they loaded in their first tree, and they matched it, and then they loaded the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And they actually showed that you can do the matching of the trees in order n squared time, where n is the number of leaves. And Freneau, Kaufman, and Poth actually reduced that to an order n log squared n. And Dan tells me that one of his graduate students has it down to n log n, but not sure, so won't go much farther than that. But so you can actually do this very quickly. If one tree doesn't move, only the other tree makes changes, and then you end up with a fairly fast algorithm. So what about the general question? Well, for binary trees, Freneau et al. Showed that there's an NP hardness result and fixed parameter tractability. Again, this is for binary trees. And so our contribution is through different arguments showing the same the NP hardness for trees in general, not surprising. And we improve the running time of the fixed parameter tractability in general. So how do you show this is NP hard? Well, the way Freneau et al. Did it was max cut. It goes on for pages. Let me give another way to do it, which is probably a little more intuitive. If you take these tangograms, let's actually reduce it to the bipartite graph crossing number, which I've left off, but it's due to Wormald. And what we do is we show that every bipartite graph can be encoded as a tangogram in polynomial time. So what do I mean by that? Well, a bipartite graph is just a graph that has two vertex sets, and the edges are only allowed to go between these two sets. Okay. Well, so if you take this and you add a vertex to each one of those initial edges, we're going to call those our leaves. Pull apart at the leaves and add blue lines like we had before for our crossing edges. And then add in some roots on both sides. So we now have trees. And I should say the other thing we have to do is kind of straighten out. There's some crossings in the black lines that originated from the bipartite graph, but you can actually show that those can be all forced down to the blue edges so that you end up with a reduction of questions about bipartite graphs to questions about tangograms. And you can show that if you can solve the problem for tangograms in polynomial time, then you can do it for bipartite graphs. And the reduction I just showed was quadratic time, so it helps. So for the general question of is this fixed parameter tractable, Freneau et al. Showed it only for binary trees and conjectured that it would be difficult for trees with higher degree nodes, so anything with polytomies. And we can show a quadratic fixed time parameter tractability for all trees. That means including non-binary trees. Let me just say what fixed parameter tractability is, since that's not the most normal thing for people to talk about. Roughly, the ability to efficiently calculate instances that are small with respect to some parameters called fixed parameter tractable. So it's an NP-hard problem where if you want to do some cases, they're really easy. If you want to do other cases, they might be really hard. Okay? So there are some NP-hard problems that you can do this with. And the size of the input isn't what affects the running time. It's the size of some fixed parameter. So in this case, our parameter k will be the minimal number of crossings of the tangogram. And so what we can show is that we can calculate the crossing number for a tangogram in terms of some function n squared times a nasty function in k, the number of crossings. So this all reduces to actually work of Martin Grohe and Reed and a coworker. I mentioned the Grohe one. It's an n squared term in it, and Reed's is a n. They both appeal to us very, very deep results in embedding graphs on surfaces of high genus. Okay, so we actually used their result, and I'd like to say you can't use their result directly, because their result says take a graph, we'll find the minimal crossing numbers, and it would allow crossings like the one up here, where you take the crossing and you cross into the tree. So the crossing on the right is only a crossing number of 1, whereas the crossing number on the left is 3. We only allow the crossings to be between the blue edges, between the leaf edges. So we can't do it anywhere, but we can actually fatten up the tree edges in our input trees to make them more costly to cross than the regular edges. So what we do is any internal edge, we add to it m copies with a degree 2 vertex in between, where m is the number of edges below it in the tree. So now it's more costly to cross that, so any solution you find will be forced to cross the blue edges or the internal edges. And so we do that everywhere, and the reason this is actually quadratic time is because we end up adding up to n edges, and there are n edges in the tree, so we end up getting a fairly high number. Okay, so some applications for this. So Freneau et al. Suggested several problems that our encoding should shed light on. And for example, the weighted version, where you have crossings have higher weights if they occur between edges of larger different subtrees, ours actually will work really well because we now can actually weight our edges. They also ask about the complexity of the maximum planar subgraph problem, that is the biggest planar subgraph you can get in here. Again, this should follow from our method. But the open question is there an approximation algorithm? And there could be a natural one lurking somewhere in the fixed parameter tractability arguments of Grohe and Reed, but it's not clear. It's buried very deep in there. So, and then as usual, I'm ending early. Okay. So I'd like to acknowledge the Isaac Newton Institute and the United States National Science Foundation for their generous funding.
Any questions for Catherine?
Yes, probably some very simple that I missed, but you want to minimize the number of crossing in your timber frames.
Yes.
And it, sometimes it cannot be zero, so it implies that there are some things that you're not allowed to do.
Okay, let me put one back. And the next one back here. Sorry. I don't know how to. Okay. Okay, so the things that you can do, sorry, I should have gone over this more slowly. The things that you can do is you can flip subtrees. So, for example, the two hibiscus on the top, hibiscus St. Johnius and hibiscus Waimea. I like the name. okay, you can, since they're in the same subtree, it's everything you could do when you're writing down a tree normally. Okay, so if you're writing down a tree, you can switch the order of the daughter species because it won't make any difference. So here you can do the same thing.
So all you're doing is just laying it down the trees, right?
All you're doing is laying
out
the trees
any way you like. And you want to minimize them, across.
Yes, yeah. Totally that. Yeah. So you can lay them down any way you want. So any of the rules for what is a unique tree, you can do. So you can't break an edge. Like you can't, you know, break this edge right here and put it over there.
Okay.
But if you, as long as you keep the tree structure, you can interchange any of the clips.
I was going to ask a question. Do you do any particular type for the FPT for?
Right.
So you can do a kernelization or a bounded surf or something like that. Is there an apparent technique you use?
Kernelization doesn't seem to help. It seems to be like the hybrid
surge
problem.
You did a bounded surge,
no,
or did something else?
We didn't do that. I mean, we just used the other FTP results. But the kernelization, the idea that these two are the same, so this cluster is the same, and somehow you cluster them, you end up with the same problems you have with hybrid number, in that you're going to have to weight the subtrees, and then it becomes all of that. It's quite messy.
It's probably completely off the base, but couldn't you use those spring algorithms to minimize differences in grants? Where they actually they have these sort of springs that actually minimize the amount of energy and tension?
I think that might be fairly heavy machinery for a very simple problem.
Oh, okay.
How's that? This isn't a deep problem. This is just
a
cute problem.
Fast.
Yeah, these are, so if the, so if I go to these folks, the Aussies, oops, there they are. These guys, what they discovered is if they run their algorithm, but fix one tree, work on the other tree, now switch, and keep doing this back and forth, just iterate 10 times, they ended up getting the true tree very, very quickly. So that says that, and they were doing it at order n squared. If this, you know, this is order log squared n, that's not too bad. You can just iterate. So the springs, by the time you set all the springs up, yeah, it's a great idea, but I think it'd be killing an ant with a sledgehammer.
Anyone else?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Okay.